going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donnie Chedrick in for a Donnie Football Hour. And we're in the middle of that hour. We're going to have a reporter from the Oregonian talking about Derek Harmon. Coming at the bottom of the noon hour, but let's get down to business here. First, a quick question, Donnie. Do you want a QB with the next pick? Ray Fittipaldo has Tyler Shuck as pick number 83. Others have talked about Will Howard, and others still, who did I see? CBS maybe? Had Kyle McCord as the 83rd pick.
As 83.
Unless he gets intercepted on the way here. What do you think? Do you want one?
I would rather just wait and go that first pick tomorrow for a QB.
Why take one at that point is my question. What? Why not just go to fortify other positions instead of just taking a random like project?
Well, I mean, you only have like one real one on your roster as is, and you know they're going to want to take, you know, and eventually we think Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Did you hear my little nugget yesterday?
So like they are going to get one out of this weekend. I mean, I think tonight it would have to be a slide of Sanders or Jalen Milroe.
Yeah. So you don't want to see the Shucks and Howards and McCords of the world. Neither do I.
I wouldn't mind Howard or McCord, but not that early. I would prefer that tomorrow. Now, quarterbacks tend to get overdrafted a bit, and that still happens in the middle rounds too, but you just have to hope that one of those guys slide down.
What do you have against Shuck, that he's older than Jim Colony?
I was going to say he's as old as Ron, and the guy seems to get hurt a bunch. Are you aware he was in the same recruiting class as Trevor
as
Lawrence?
As Jim Thorpe? And Crazy Legs Hirsch?
As Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. Those guys have been in the league for 5 years.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Come on, brother. He's going to be on AARP before he's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Limits. The rest of the team is going to have a training meal, and he's going to be over at Bob Evans for the early bird special.
What about Denny's? Get a grand slam at Denny's. Remember that?
I mean, they don't have like tons and tons of picks. People say don't reach early. I think it's more of a sin to reach in the mid or late. Use it on something else. Then if you need an arm, go get Chris Oladokun the second. As an undrafted guy.
Oladokun.
Oladokun. Combined Duck Hodges and Oladokun.
That's right. Like John Madden with the turducken. I don't know, Donnie. No thanks on a quarterback unless it's Shador or Milroe at this point and another big swing. I don't think so. Anyway, winners and losers from the first round last night, and it was a very entertaining product. Let's just go around the room with a quick explanation on your pick. And let's start with a winner from last night. We'll go Donnie, Limits, and myself. A winner.
I'm going to go with the New York Giants. Yeah. You sat there at number three. You end up getting the best pure defensive player in the draft. You already have that as a position of strength. I mean, they have good edge rushers. They have Brian Burns. They have Kayvon Thibodeau. you get Abdul Carter, that maybe makes one of those guys expendable, but it also just loads up a position. And then you move back into the first round, and they get your guy.
So you do like Jackson Dart.
I mean, they were a team that a lot of people knew would take a QB early. And once that trade happened, you knew it was going to be a move for either Dart or Sanders. So, I mean, the boldness of that move, plus also getting a player as good as Carter. I mean, I would be willing to give them a winner just for picking Carter and leaving it at that.
Man, if you told me at the beginning of last night I would leave that draft with Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart, I would have held a Mardi Gras-like celebration. Give me a winner from last night, Limits.
The Jacksonville-Cleveland trade. Both teams are a winner. Mm. I've come around a little bit on Cleveland. I do think that they've acquired more picks, but I like it more from Jacksonville's perspective. You trade up, you get a star, you get a generational talent in Travis Hunter. I didn't think that the Browns would be dumb enough to trade off of it, but I do like what they accumulated for next season. Jacksonville, the main winner, Browns, a slight winner in it.
I actually had on my list Jacksonville, but maybe Cleveland.
I like that.
We were thinking the same, Limits.
I like it. I've got a winner, and it's a pair, and we know them well. Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, at least for one night, they were winners. We'll see how the draft shakes out, but they escaped. Both of them escaped the first round with perhaps their number one quarterback gig intact, Donnie. Give me a loser from last night.
How about this one as a loser? Najee Harris.
Yeah, I had him down.
I had that.
Because the Chargers, a team that wasn't really expected to take a running back. In fact, a team a few picks ahead of them. I think a lot of people had Omarion Hampton shoot in for Denver at 20. And here come the Chargers at 22. Yeah. And Jimmy Harbaugh, who loves running the football. Now, Harris only signed the one-year deal there, but he couldn't have been thrilled.
No.
By that pick last night.
Give me a loser, Limits.
Mel Kiper. This is why the NFL Network's draft coverage is significantly better than ESPN. I saw a 10-minute mashup of Mel Kiper trying to get Shedeur Sanders drafted video today. And him saying, the Steelers not taking, what the hell are they doing not taking Shedeur Sanders? Come on now. Come on. You would think that Mel Kiper was related to Shedeur Sanders the way that he was talking about him.
It felt to me like he finally broke after 40 years of obsessively poring over draft picks every day of his life. It felt like he broke, Donnie. I thought he was going to cry that Sanders didn't get picked.
It was like reminiscent of the infamous moment, what, like 30 plus years ago, the whole like Trent Dilfer, Heath Shuler draft.
Yeah.
Where he went off on the Colts and Bill Tobin because they didn't take a QB. That's actually what it felt like to me.
Like imagine
how angry he was at the teams who didn't take Sanders.
I know.
Sanders.
They'll regret it for the rest of their lives, that type of thing. It reminds me of Phil Steele, who puts out a magazine where he goes in-depth on like 817 teams every year. And I wonder, how does that man stay sane? I think Kiper finally broke. I really do. Did I give a loser yet?
No.
No.
It's another quarterback duo. Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. I think they thought they had that one to themselves, and now in comes Jackson Dart. So for Mr. Unlimited, his time may be limited.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride.
But yet there's more.
Let's ride my ass.
There we go.
Poor Russ. Poor Russ. Every incompletion, let alone a bad game, and there's going to be we want Dart chance. All right, Donnie, give me another winner.
I will go with the Indianapolis Colts, a team that in the early to mid to late 2000s, they had one of the best, most complete tight ends in all of football with Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
And last night they waited around at 14, and I thought they got the next great one. He wasn't the first tight end off the board, but I think Tyler Warren is going to be the next great tight end in the NFL. I think the dude is a hell of a player.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just uttered. I can't believe that he lasted until the 14th pick. Limits, give me a winner from last night.
I want to piggyback off of that because you know Tyler Warren is my guy. If he would have fallen past the Colts at 14, I would have been absolutely pounding the table like Brian Kelly for the Steelers to trade up for him. I think he's the best offensive weapon in the draft outside of Travis Hunter. And he is going to be a 10-plus year star in this league. Colts got a good one. The Bears are foolish for passing up on Warren for Colston Loveland. Loveland will be a good player, but he's not Tyler Warren.
I'm going to go as with the Patriots fan base as winners. This dude, Will Campbell, oh my God.
I had that too.
He's crying. He's saying this logo speaks for itself. He's saying he would, quote, die to protect Drake May. I mean, I'm just thinking, oh my God, Patriots fans are falling in love as we speak. Did you see this dude, Donnie?
That's like the speech in Braveheart.
It really was. The two best speeches last night were him and the kid for the Bills, where he's like the cornerback from Kentucky, mm-hmm. where he's like, I'm here to give Josh Allen the ball back. And then he starts celebrating. Tremendous. But the Patriots fan base, man. Oh, do they have to be pumped over this dude?
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Donnie, give me a loser from last night.
I am going to go with the Sanders family as a loser from last night because we know the ego does not get checked at the door if your last name is Sanders and you have an NFL pedigree.
Yeah.
It had to hurt a lot for Deion and Shadur, not only when the Steelers passed on him, I think it was even more of a stab in the back when the Giants traded in. They had to think, here we go. We're going to the Big Apple,
oh,
baby.
Yeah.
And they called Jackson Dart. That had to be tough for them to swallow.
How do you like them apples? Limits, give me a loser.
Yeah, Shadur Sanders just kind of hanging around, and you could tell they just kept showing that camera angle of him over and over and over again. They even asked Rich Eisen, what is this camera angle from? When's the shot? And he said, I was just told moments ago this is Shadur. He's not actually on the phone. Another loser, the Dallas Cowboys. So the Cowboys take a guard at 12. They take Tyler Booker. They drafted everyone named Tyler imaginable, Tyler Guyton, and there's a Tyler. There's another Tyler that they took.
Surprised they don't have
line.
Ex-Penguin Tyler Wright on their team right now.
How about Tyler Kennedy?
How about Steven Tyler?
Yeah,
Tyler Kennedy.
But right. Yet they passed up on Tyler Warren and Kenneth Grant and Jalon Walker for a defense that needs help. You could have paired Walker on the other side with Parsons, Grant in the middle. They don't have Lawrence anymore. Dallas, I mean, I know they're always built on offensive linemen. I think they could have gone much bigger.
Austin, I also thought it hurt them that when they went offensive line, and I know that Tet McMillan was already off the board. Maybe they could have gone with a wide receiver there a little bit early, but they don't really have much opposite CD Lamb.
I'm surprised they didn't go Golden from Texas in their own state.
We got to go 2-minute drive here. We got to speed it up. loser is the Bengals, Shamar Stewart. What are they doing? This kid had 1.5 sacks last year. He had 4 sacks in 3 years at Texas A&M. What are they doing? Donnie, give me a winner.
I'm going to go with the host city. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Good pick.
I thought the crowd was awesome.
Yeah.
When the Packers were on the clock, it was almost like a wrestling promo.
Yeah.
And they said it was going to be a wide receiver, and then the place just went crazy. That just makes me think of next year, what
For
the
sure.
atmosphere could be like.
Limits?
Eagles getting Jahad Campbell, projected as a top 15 prospect, and Philadelphia moves up one spot, gives up a fifth, and they pick him at 31. They do it again.
I'm going to go Shedeur Sanders as a winner. You're saying, why? I'll tell you why, Donnie. He's going to go to the Raiders at number 37. They liked him. Brady likes him. And now he's going to have the greatest mentor a man could ever have in Tom Brady. And he may wreak havoc on the league. Give me a loser from last night, Donnie.
I'm going to go. I know that Austin went with Mel Kiper. I'm going to go with ESPN as a whole for how they handled the entire Sanders situation, because it was borderline embarrassing. Like,
yeah.
You had every single talking head on that network just bashing teams that didn't take him.
Right.
Lewis Riddick, speaking of Tom Brady, Lewis Riddick, pit guy, he's going on and on. Oh, he might become the next Tom Brady. Yeah, well, he probably won't. Because there's only one Tom Brady.
I want to piggyback on that before I get to you, Limits. My loser is whoever at ESPN decided they needed a 10-minute performance on stage to tell us the date of the schedule unveil.
Yes.
Not one of the games. Like, hey, here's what your leadoff game, or here are some of the big games. They actually staged a performance on stage to tell us that May 14th, we're going to unveil the schedule. What was that?
That was awkward. And that was probably an NFL initiative, but it was still weird in and of it at the same time. I have the Jets as a loser. They pick Membu, the offensive tackle from Missouri, not even considered one of the best offensive tackles in the draft outside of Campbell. He was the second one taken. When they could have gone McMillan to help out Justin Field, they could have went with either of the tight ends. There were offensive weapons that were available. I don't get it.
Real quick now, one more winner. We'll leave with a winner. Donnie?
I'm going to go with Atlanta, a team that doesn't know how to get after the quarterback. They draft one edge rusher, then they trade back up, and they draft another pretty good one. Mm. So they load it up on the edge.
I'm going to go with the Ravens with Malachi Starks. That guy is just, he's a Raven. And now you're going to have him and Kyle Hamilton at the back end of your defense. They're a winner. Limits?
I like your Ravens pick. I'll give you a I'm confused pick. 19, Emeka Abuka to Tampa Bay. You brought Godwin back and paid him. You still have Mike Evans. Where are you playing Abuka? In the slot as your third receiver? You have McMillan as wide receiver.
The category is winners, Limits. How is that a winner?
Matthew Golden then at Green Bay is a winner for me.
Everybody who plays Tampa? I actually
like Abuka. I was trying to go outside the box. I like Abuka a lot too, but that Tampa Bay pick, I don't understand why they did it.
Actually, we'll leave with a loser, Donnie. Give us one more loser from last night.
I'm trying to think of one more because Austin and I had so many that overlap, so I may pass.
Matt Gorski.
This poor loser.
This poor guy hits the first home run of his career on his first at-bat. First Pirates since Starling Marte to do that, and nobody's watching because the NFL draft is on.
That's
poor
fair.
Matt
But
Gorski.
Give him a winner because he was able to
and
do that.
And a winner.
He's a winner.
Yes, I like him. Should have been up anyway.
I'm glad they finally gave him a shot.
Give me a loser, Limits. You get last call here, you and Donnie.
Seattle, they pick Gray Zabel, and I'm not somebody that's just trying to bash on everyone for taking offensive linemen. I think offensive linemen are very necessary. I praise the Will Campbell pick. This was a guy that was projected, second-round pick, late end of the first round? I'm surprised Seattle just didn't move back from 18 to take him.
Donnie, you got a loser for me to finish on?
I do feel like the Saints could end up being a loser.
Yeah.
Because there's a very real chance they end up with no viable QB, and we don't know how bad the injury is to Derek Carr, but it doesn't sound very good.
I know of another team with no viable QB right now. The one where Ryan Clark freaked out when he was watching and saw the Steelers didn't. I think he wanted Shedeur, and this was his reaction.
Mason Rudolph!
They all wanted Shedeur. Everybody at ESPN. It was it was almost as if, now I know half of them have a previous working relationship with Deion, but it was almost like to appease Deion. They had such a pro Shedeur Sanders agenda being built last night.
Yeah.
And it was just weird.
I would have taken him myself, but I would have taken Jackson Dart before him. But yes, I thought Mel Kiper, I didn't know if he was going to be able to go on. Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Joe.
That
Thank
was
you,
tremendous.
Austin.
Limits, thank you, Donnie. Tell the people who's next here.
Yes, we have a wonderful guest that is from the Oregonian. He is going to tell us a little bit more about what we need to know about Derek Harmon. The fine man's name is James, and he will join us next.
Does he have a last name?
He does. I just have to make sure I get the pronunciation of it. That's why I didn't say it. Thanks for pointing
name
it out.
Is James.
No, his That's, first name is James.
I understand that. I'm quoting you.
I think it's Crepia, C-R-E-P-E-A, but I wanted to confirm before okay. I gave the populace
I
that.
I know.
You- Thank you for pointing it out.
Well, it was kind of obvious when you said the man's name is James.
We make it even more obvious when we say it.
I like it. Thank you, Limits.
Thank
yeah,
you.
And I'm very curious because, again, my analysis of that pick is not about Harmon because I think he's going to be a good player. And also just a heart-rending story about his mom and her being very, very sick and some of the stories he told last night. He seems like an awesome kid. Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Obviously, the whole show today dedicated to the Steelers draft. And it looks like they got a pretty good player with pick number 21, and that is Derek Harmon, defensive lineman from Oregon. And here to talk about that is James Crepia from OregonLive.com. James, I appreciate you joining me. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing very good. James is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So from all the highlights and stories and watching Derek, it's just pretty obvious that they got an unusual athlete for a guy of that size to move around like he does. James, tell us a little bit more about Harmon and his career at Oregon.
Yeah, so his career at Oregon was just 1 year, one season, and really even shorter than that in a sense, because he was at this time of year for the NFL fans who aren't as dialed into college. Though I know I'm speaking to the part of the country who does have a awfully prominent Big Ten school in the not too distant geography, so it does help. This is the spring transfer window, and you still have players moving about who were one place in the spring, and then they'll be at a different place in the summer and play in the fall. Well, that was Harmon a year ago. He was still at Michigan State this time last year. So he didn't have the benefit of going through spring at Oregon. He didn't arrive until the summer. And he had gone through the portal in the winter, but he chose to stay at Michigan State. Then after, you know, later on ended up going. All right. Well, point is he ended up having a career year here in his one season. And the only prep time he had in terms of learning a new defense, learning the language and all that. And by the way, you know, competing for a job. Yes, he was a really productive player at Michigan State too, but putting himself in position to be the starting defensive tackle that they needed him to be. He needed to do all that in like 25 fall practices in August. And yeah, did that in a hurry. There really wasn't much room for interpretation. Did that very, very quickly. And this is in a room with a lot of really talented young players as well, all of whom are about to take over for him. So he did that fast. And like I say, and then had an impact on a week-to-week basis. Let me go back and look at some of Oregon's biggest games, including the regular season game with Ohio State, one of the biggest plays of the game. He doesn't just force a fumble. I mean, he just outright rips it away from, I believe it was Henderson. It was either Henderson or Junkins. I'm getting mistaken now because it's back in October. But bottom line, he just flat out meets him in the backfield and just steals the football in what was a pivotal play at that point in the game. That's how gifted and talented, how strong. And yes, for a 6'5", 300-plus-pound man, yes, of course, but no, I mean, he is a disruptor in the backfield. And that's where he had the career-high 10.5 tackles for loss and 5 sacks this past season and the PPUs. So he's not just a big guy who's ultimately just strong, but, oh, it's mainly he's a run stopper. Mm. Or, well, he's got those things, but he's got the speed, so he's only a pass rusher. No, he's also smart enough to get his hands up there. Very big, very, very big here in the defensive lineman, being gifted enough and athletic enough to bat balls down, too. And Derek did that, and Jordan Birch did that, and other guys too. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's like I say, he really is kind of the jack of all trades in terms of interior defensive linemen. Could play those multiple techniques, and like I say, can disrupt the game in any number of ways.
and also the first Oregon player ever selected in the first round by the Steelers. There were a couple of reports, at least one I saw, James, out there. I think it was Pellicera who put out there that there might be a medical red flag with Derek Harmon regarding his shoulder. Harmon said he's fully healthy. Was this something that came up during the year, after the year? What do you know about that situation?
Yeah, I saw that as well. It wasn't something that came up during the year, at least not that we were aware of. He didn't miss any time here and really didn't have any issues in games that we were, again, that we were really aware of. So, again, there's always still those minor dings and things that occur. But having said that, no. Now, I will say, go back to the combine. He was part of the defensive line group, that the tail end of that group. It wasn't just him, to be clear. But there was a pretty large swath of players from that group because it was so enormous. I think it was the biggest player group at the combine, where they got held up collectively the most due to medicals. But he was not the only player in that group. I just note that because I had to spend the most time waiting because I had to wait for the presumptive first round pick that was. But yeah, I saw that report as well. But there was nothing that came up here that caused him to miss game time. But anything that came up subsequently, I couldn't speak to with authority. But like I say, it was nothing that ever came up here. And there are guys who, you know, even at this level where access is a little bit different by way of practice and the like, there are still guys and instances where you either see guys in slings or, you know, walking boots or those sorts of things, but then they end up playing the next week. There are things that we do become aware of. We do see behind the scenes. Harmon was never a guy that we saw any issue with during his time here, like I say, but that was only for about 4 months also.
James Crepia from Oregon Live talking about Derek Harmon. Now, one of the things Derek said when he was introduced to Pittsburgh last night, James, was that it was a bittersweet moment for him because of his mom being in what I take to be a life-threatening situation. I think he said on life support, in fact, and that he was going to go and be able to tell her that he got drafted by the Steelers. He seems like a really a high character kid. Was this a storyline throughout the season? Were you aware of this? And then just what about his, he seems to have, you know, great leadership traits.
Yeah. So, and so far as his mom's illness, I became aware last night, like the rest of you, that the severity of the current situation. But that if you saw the clip last night, I believe it was ESPN put out where he talks about, you know, this is my why, and you know, I do it for family specifically, but especially for his mother. He had mentioned prior to the Rose Bowl that you know, guys are going around asking all sorts of things to everybody. So one of the questions that somebody else was asking a bunch of players was, you know, what was your best purchase with your NIL money? And what Derek had said at the time, this is back in late December, was he had bought a wheelchair accessible van, you know, to help his mother get around at the time. So yes, and you saw it again at the clip from ESPN last night showing the health issues that she has had, not just recently and most recently, unfortunately, but obviously for many, many years. So that is something that has been obviously very, very personal and yes, a huge motivating factor, far, far bigger than football. For Derek Harmon. So, yeah, happy for him, happy for his family that he has to have the moment and reach this ultimate dream in the football sense. But obviously really feeling for him and his family as well for, like I say, for what he mentioned last night in terms of the severity of the situation presently for his mom. But when you talk about that on the personal level and then in terms of you ask about leadership and those sorts of things, again, he was here for 1 year, and he would be a guy who would be quick to point out that he's not, I believe he said multiple times to us, he's not a big rah-rah guy. He's not necessarily a guy who's going to be leading in a huddle in a verbal way. But this is a guy who leads because you hear about things like lead by example. This is just kind of a tone setter player. I say, like, when you do the things that he does on the field and then the way that he went about it, he was here for less than a year, guys. Like I say, like, you hear nothing about, nothing other than, excuse me, stuff from teammates about just the way that he goes about his business. You know, he was here for a reason. He was here to be a really effective player, but he was here to put himself in the position that he put himself in. You know, would he have been drafted had he gone, if he either stayed at Michigan State or whatever? I can't predict the future, but ultimately he came to Oregon to win football games and be a really effective football player and put himself in position to be a first-round pick. And lo and behold, he did it. Well, again, it doesn't just happen because he's a really big guy and really strong. Yeah, he had to put in the work. And in less than 1 year's time, for the teammates we had to develop relationships here, coaches we had to develop relationships here in a hurry, he showed it through work ethic, and he showed it for what he could do on the field. So again, like I say, he may not be the biggest pomp and circumstance verbal leader necessarily by his own admission, but the way that he goes about his business, that's how he does his talking.
James, based on what you saw last season, what would you consider Harmon's greatest strengths and weaknesses are that he's bringing to the NFL?
Strengths, I would say, that combination of both just sheer brute power along with speed for the guy, the size that he is at the interior spot. Like I say, because he was lined up against a traditional nose tackle in Jamari Caldwell, who will probably also get drafted this weekend. But he was more of your true zero or one technique big guy who could also create a little bit of pass rush. But ultimately, Harmon was, you know, far more agile, I'd say, of the two. So I'd say just the combination of, yeah, he could just steal a football away from a future NFL running back and also get after the quarterback really, really well. That's it. Weaknesses, hard to identify, to be honest, in part because I only got the chance to see him for one season. And he was being so disruptive on a week-to-week basis, it was hard to kind of nitpick a lot of what Derek was doing from a week standpoint. Out here, you're kind of like, all right, you know, what good was he doing on a week-to-week basis? But I'm sure there's certainly in terms of talking about picking up multiple schemes, he's had to do that. So even learning systems and those sorts of things, he's already shown an ability to do that. I really couldn't nitpick on a whole lot with him. I couldn't, but again, I'm not a professional talent evaluator. I'm sure there's plenty of things he could, but more to the upside. Like I said, it's just rare that you see a guy of his height and weight combination who can both be a pass rusher and, like I say, a really effective run stopper.
James, we really appreciate you taking the time. That was enlightening on Derek. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That was really good stuff. And again, I think he's going to be a good player. I do. And I think defensive line is a neglected position by the Steelers. It's one they have neglected and one where they haven't developed the people they have drafted of late anyway. I'm wondering about Benton. I thought he was going to have a huge breakthrough last year, and I thought, especially as a run stopper, it went the other way a little bit. So here's hoping that Derek Harmon just injects, a lot of life, energy, and skill into that hugely important position. Because the last time we saw them, and a couple times last year, they weren't just getting beat up front defensively; they were getting systematically destroyed by the Eagles. 10.5 minutes at the end of a game, and by the Ravens running for 300 yards against them. I don't know that one guy, by the way, is going to make that difference. I just think that the Steelers passed on a franchise quarterback in Dart and maybe one in Sanders. And again, I think to a large degree, you're rearranging deck chairs until you get that guy. But that doesn't mean that I don't like Derek Harmon, because I do. Every single thing I've seen and heard about him and what you just heard, I think he's going to be a good NFL player. Maybe a great one. Who knows? But at least a good one, Limits. And that guy, that was a good get by you. That was insightful.
Yeah, I was excited to be able to reach out to James, and he was really quick to be able to respond. And that's what's really cool about this business, is being able to connect with people regardless of where they are, to hear the stories of these players. And what I really did love, and I saw it not that long ago on Harmon, was the story of what he did with his NIL money.
Yes.
Helping his mom. Like that, you know, we were talking about like true Steeler DNA. I wonder if there was a little bit of what Tomlin was talking about there with like the person that they want when they draft as well. Like, you want good people in your organization. Harmon, from what it sounds like and in the research that we've done, seems like a good guy too.
Well, you're going to get your chance to weigh in on what the Steelers did, and really the bigger story to me is what they didn't do in the first round at 412-928-9370. First, plus we have a great rant by our old friend Greg Giannotti. He lost his mind